and welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
School's back in. Yay.
Yes,
everybody gets a break. At least an 8-hour break while the children get back in school. Go back to school, I mean. So today's topic will be about pretty much everything that we've been seeing in the media regarding police brutality against Black people. We wanted to educate and inform you through a police officer on what your rights are, what you have the right to do or say or act, you know, once you're being stopped by a police officer.
Right. It's just, you know, you just cut on the news today and you see it. I mean, this morning I cut on the news and it's like back-to-back stories. I'm not even in the country and I was watching a WGN and it's Chicago news and it's like the same thing is happening around the United States. So
right, no matter
us,
where
we,
you go.
Right. And I think many of us have an idea of our rights, but we still need to be clear, and then we also need to know on what's the appropriate way to exercise our rights. No one is justified in being murdered because they didn't respond to the police correctly. However, things are real, things are happening, and you can only control your piece of the puzzle. So, you know, momentarily, we're going to have a retired NYPD officer chat with us and give us the real on how we respond, what we should do, what we have the right to do when we are being pulled over by the police. So, like Charity said, our whole purpose right now is to educate our listeners and the general public on what's appropriate and not appropriate. So, Charity, you're back. One second, technical difficulties. All right, you're back.
All right.
I think we're good to go.
So what did I miss?
No, I just repeated, reiterated that, you know, our focus is to educate today.
Definitely, because no matter where you go in the world, you can't avoid it. I mean, you can no longer turn a blind eye. I mean, it's just right there. It's plastered everywhere on the media, on Facebook. People are doing videos. People are talking about it. No matter where you go, if you stand in line at Walmart, you cannot miss it.
And it's pretty scary now. And what I'm doing now is actually kind of avoiding the news because I just don't want to hear about it. I mean, as many of us know, yesterday was Sunday, yes. The 9th was the anniversary of Michael Brown's death. So we had protesting going on, and someone got shot during a protest by a police officer. It's just like insanity keeps happening over and over again. So,
well, we do have a police officer who will be joining our show today, Mr. Bill Foster.
Yes. A retired NYPD officer, and like I was saying, he is very candid, and he's going to be really honest about how it goes down, and he should be calling in momentarily. But just in the meantime, Charity, do you have any suggestions of what people should
do? Well,
I know
you're
not a police officer,
I saw this on Facebook, and I thought this was a great idea because as you've seen with Sandra Bullock. I mean, not Sandra Bullock, but what's her last name? Sandra Bland, I'm sorry, who just died in prison. Her video was edited. So this young black man, when he was stopped by the police, he dialed 911, and, you know, they record all the calls that come in. And they can't go back and edit these calls. So as he was being stopped and questioned by the police officer was already acting antsy and aggressive toward him from the jump, and he informed the police officer that he had 911 on his phone, and he immediately changed his demeanor. So that would be, I thought that was a great idea. That would be like the most, the first thing that I would do. Cause I was like, wow, why didn't I think of that? So, yeah, definitely. I mean, we have to do everything possible in our means to save our own lives. I mean, you know, you can't put your life in the hands of someone else. It's your responsibility, you know, to defend yourself and exercise your rights and to know your rights.
Right. So by calling 911, you have the ability to record what's happening. It cannot be edited. It cannot be deleted because all 911 calls are recorded because it's the law. Right?
Definitely. Definitely, yes. So, is Mr. Foster in?
Not yet. I hope soon. So, in the meantime, one of the things we want to find out is if it's possible to actually have a citizen arrest. I know, like, I've seen it on the movies before, and I thought it was cute and funny, but is there really a such thing as a citizen's arrest? Now, we know we can arrest another, well, we supposedly can arrest another citizen, but could we really, could we arrest a police officer?
Can we legally arrest, do a citizen's arrest on a police officer? I mean, because obviously, if it's legal, it's going to be hard to do. And another thing, too, we need to discuss is what is reasonable suspicion? I mean, I've always wanted to know, what does that mean? I mean, does it mean if you don't answer his question, he has the right to be suspicious of you? I mean, that's like a broad topic, you know. I need some specifics about that. And also, too, I would like to know, can a police officer, is there an exception for a police officer to be able to search your property without a warrant? Because obviously these cops, whether it's legal or not, they have been searching and seizing people's property without a warrant because they have had claiming, once they're in court, they had reasonable suspicion.
Right. So reasonable suspicion is less than probable cause. Probable cause is like, oh, you smell marijuana in my car, or you see a bloody rag hanging out the back of my trunk. That's probable cause.
Or if you have a bad attitude or you talk back, you know, who knows what they consider reasonable suspicion. So I would definitely want to be informed on what they think reasonable suspicion is. Because
which reasonable suspicion will allow someone to be searched, right? Because of that, they can actually frisk you. Because of reasonable suspicion?
Without a warrant.
Yeah, with nothing. So, yeah,
supposedly,
we need clarity.
Right. Because I know myself personally, of course, I wouldn't be, like, blatantly disrespectful to an officer. But if an officer, like, every time previously, if an officer stops me, I mean, it's just like it automatically pops out of my mouth. Why did you stop me? I feel like I have a right to ask, why am I being stopped? Especially if I didn't know. Like, if I knew I was speeding, then of course I'm not going to ask because I knew I was speeding.
Right.
I just got caught. But if I'm not aware of any reason, I'm going to ask, why was I stopped? You know, like one instance, my headlight had went out. Well, you know, you have like two parts. So it worked if I had it on bright. But then once I put it on the regular, it didn't work. And see, I didn't notice that until I was stopped. So the cop, you know, he informed me, he was like, well, your headlight was out. I was like, oh, really? I didn't even notice that. So, I mean, that's a reason for them to stop you, of course.
Right.
But since I wasn't aware, I automatically asked him, why did you stop me? And then that's when he made me aware of my headlight being out, and I looked. I said, oh, yeah, you're right, you know.
And then what? They gave you a ticket? And
well, actually, he let me go with a warning.
Okay. That's fair. Have you had any experience where you were personally harassed by?
Oh, yes, yes. But, I mean, I have been kind of crafty at getting out of tickets just as much as I've been, you know, I've come across cops who have had attitudes, maybe because they were having a bad day and, you know, taking it out on me or whatever. And I didn't get an attitude back, but I expressed my, you know, my disagreement with how he was talking to me or whatever.
Right.
But this has happened
mm-hmm.
so long ago. I mean, I'm 36. It may have been over 10 years ago when this happened, so.
Okay.
I haven't been stopped since they have been just, like, on this killing spree and disrespectful, you know, making up reasons just to be stopping people, you know. So thank God, because I would actually be afraid.
Yeah,
I hate
absolutely.
To say it. I mean, like, even if something happened to me, I would really hesitate to call the cops, which is sad, because you should be able to go and confide in the cop or call them to help protect you. But, I mean, when something goes down, I think about it. I'm like, no, it's not really worth it because I may end up getting killed by the cop. So unless it's just like a dire emergency, I don't even think I would call the cops, to be honest. It has to be something very serious.
I mean, that's so scary for us to have to say, and I know everybody wouldn't understand that, especially if they're not, you know, minority living in the United States. They won't understand why we are now afraid. Like, I see the police and I'm afraid. Like, literally, like, I'm driving and I'm making sure I'm doing everything. And I may even look guilty as I'm trying to ensure that everything is proper. I'm not over the speed limit, my seatbelt's on, face forward. So it's scary that it's come to this for us, that we are fearful of the people who have been placed to serve and protect us.
Okay, Mr. Foster is calling in right now, so we're going to patch him in.
Okay. I don't see him yet, but I should in any moment. So I'm afraid, and I don't want to feel afraid, and I hope that I don't have any negative experiences in the near future with police.
Well, what I teach my children, I mean, to be honest, I don't teach my children to be afraid of the cops. I just tell them to, you know, make sure you have your hands visible, not necessarily in the air, but visible, and speak, you know, with a moderate tone. But
mm-hmm.
don't be afraid to say what you really, you know, feel, or, you know, ask them why you're being questioned. I don't teach them just to take off running from the cops. I'm like, don't run. Don't turn your back. You stand there. Because no matter what, they're dealing with an adult. So just like how I teach my children to deal with adults, no matter whether it's a cop or not, I say, well, you still need to be respectful,
right?
You know, and answer questions when you ask. And if they have a problem with you after you're doing everything you're supposed to do, have them call me or you call me. So I teach my children that regardless of whether they're dealing with a cop or not.
And that's definitely the appropriate thing to do when you're dealing with a minor, but I know all the time an officer may not oblige to that request, like call my mother. And that's a question I would like to ask, is that appropriate protocol? Will the police call someone's mother if they say, hey, call my mom? Have your son ever called you with the police?
No,
or
actually.
Or have you ever gotten to them?
Yeah, my son, he hasn't. Because, to be honest, I keep a tight rope on my children. I always practically know where they are, and I don't really let him go off by himself. He's always with me, so if there's anything going down, I'm there. I mean, my daughter has had an encounter with theater, but, I mean, it didn't escalate to anything, you know, where she was attacked or even arrested. You know, she probably got a little feelings hurt, but it didn't end up being anything. Thank God.
Yeah, I never experience, well, you know, I am in my 30s, but I don't ever remember having to have conversations with my mom or anybody having conversations with me about the police. But today we're definitely in a new day and age, and these are conversations that, you know, are necessary but also difficult, because we like to believe that, you know, we all are treated equally and fairly, but we know the reality is when people are dealing with black men, minorities, they're more reactive for some reason. And, you know, the other part is like, is this part of the training? You know, we all say, oh, they didn't get trained enough, but is this really part of the training to be on guard? You know, I had the opportunity of sitting in a town hall meeting after, so I think it was after the Eric Garner's decision in New York City, and we asked, you know, a couple officers there, and they said that their protocol is to shoot, not to injure, but to shoot center mass. So no, they don't train them to shoot. Oh, shoot in the leg. Shoot center mass. That means right in the middle of the chest. That's where they're aiming for. So, which I don't even know why that's the protocol. But because everyone who you assume is a criminal may not be. You know, I mean, I get
it
if somebody's having a shootout. Yeah, okay, that's a clear sign that somebody's, you know, committing a crime or being violent towards you. But, yeah, shoot center mass is what they're told. Okay, Bill just called in. Let me join him in. Welcome, Bill. Is this Mr.
Hi, welcome. How are you?
How are you? Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We're so appreciative of you taking this time.
Definitely.
To talk to us and our viewers about
how to
ask questions.
Sure.
Go ahead. We had a few questions we wanted to clarify, because I know you're probably aware in the media, in the news, everywhere you turn, you know, police officers are, you know, killing black people. They're stopping them. They're dying, you know, either on the way to jail or in jail without no explanation. And then all of a sudden they're coming up with these excuses or reasons saying, oh, they tried to grab my gun or, you know, whatever reason they have. So we wanted to kind of inform people on what their rights are when they're being stopped by the cops.
Okay. All right. Well, first, we all agree it's a sad thing that's happening right now in this world. Because
definitely,
when I was in the police force, there was no such excuse as being scared. Police officers now are using, I'm scared. There was no, that's like a doctor saying, oh, well, I made a mistake when operating, you know, like, so.
Right, you're in the wrong field if you're scared, right?
Exactly. When I was working, it was such a problem to use your gun. If you use your gun, you would have been able to articulate why you even had your gun out.
Be like a last resort.
Exactly. Nowadays, officers are saying, I'm shooting because I was fighting him and I couldn't beat him. Just like in Ferguson. Like Michael Brown.
Right.
One guy is 6'6", 300 pounds. Another guy is 6'4", 210. Okay? Why would you engage with him if you're afraid? The days of just talking about, I'm a police officer, and do what I say. And that's the mentality of a lot of police officers. So it's do what I say, not what I do. And
right.
They have to understand people have rights. Now, people of color, we need to understand that we don't have the privileges of our other constituents do, our counterparts. That's no disrespect to a white person or any other nationality. We just don't have that liberty.
Right.
Right.
Now, going back to the question that you asked, our rights in pertaining to, give me an example of what you would want to know.
Okay,
right,
so my first question, I have a list of questions that I want to ask. The first question is reasonable suspicion?
Reasonable suspicion is when I have a reason to think that you're doing something suspicious.
So does that include?
Let me give you an example. It's like, why are you hanging out in front of a bank at 12 o'clock at night? You understand what I'm saying? Or check cash.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. I drove by once. I saw that you were still there, but you didn't go in the bank. Now, you're still sitting there. So that's reasonable suspicion. That can lead to a stopping question. A stop question and frisk. Go ahead.
Okay. So my second question is, when you're stopped by the cops, Can you legally, do you have the right to question why you're being stopped?
An officer, now this is all depending on the officer. Officers are taught to get your license and registration first a lot of times. They will tell you why you're stopped, but they want to see if you have the proper paperwork first. So an officer
so
doesn't
you
really
have
want
to
have a go ahead. An officer really
you
doesn't
have
want
to
go
provide
a whole long. Yes. If I pull up to the car, you know, some officers may have said, do you know why I stopped you?
Right.
You know, to take the doubt out of your mind. But the bottom line is if an officer comes up to your car first, can I have your license and registration? You're supposed to give it. Now, if the officer has that kind of persona to defuse a situation, maybe like a la me, if I pulled you over, I would say, excuse me, ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over? And you might say no. I say, all right, you made a left turn without signaling, or you ran a red light back there, two blocks down, or whatever the case may be. Do you have license and registration? Now, whether you do or you don't, the average person may say, oh, I didn't run anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Now it's starting to go left. When I say go left, it means you still haven't given me your license and registration, and now it's a debate. It's not a debate. I'm the law. Give me your license and registration. Now, because an officer's mentality is, if you don't, we're going to use the word layman terms, if you don't bust my chops, I might not give you a ticket.
Right.
But if you're going to sit here and go back and forth and argue with me, now the mentality is, you know what, now I wasn't going to give you a ticket, but now I'm giving you a ticket because you're getting on my nerves. Because remember, a lot of people don't understand officers are human too. We're still professionally trained. We're professionally trained in the law. Nobody said we have professional personality training.
Right.
They want us to have thick skin. Go ahead.
So why is it when they don't have the information, they're arrested? So if they're just able to only give you a ticket, are they able to arrest you too for not having it? Like not having your driver's license, do you just get a ticket or is it legal for them to arrest you for not having it?
It can go both ways. Now, the bottom line is people don't understand. A ticket is an arrest. It's just the fact that they're saying that it's not an I don't have to take you in, but you gave me enough information that I can let you go. I believe who you are.
That's why
if you don't pay your ticket, you get your license suspended or other things can accrue from that. A ticket is an arrest.
Hmm.
It's like that's probably the smallest, you know, arrest that they're going to be.
So you're saying when you receive a ticket, that is an arrest.
It is an arrest.
But they're just giving you time instead of taking you in at that time to show up to court, either provide the information, request it, pay your fine, or then you're taken to jail.
If you have to get a disposition on anything, it's an arrest.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even know.
You have to get a disposition. Like if you get a moving violation, what's the consequence? Either getting points on your license, get your license suspended. If you don't do something at a certain time, you could get arrested. You know, it's like people get a ticket for jumping a turnstile. Later on, it becomes a warrant because you didn't pay the fine.
Right.
Right. I understand now. Okay. And my other question. Can a citizen legally do a citizen's arrest on a police officer if they're doing something illegal?
No. What you can do is you can call
their supervisor.
Civilian complaint review board or IAB and say that you saw police doing something illegal, unofficial misconduct or something illegal. Yes.
Okay. So my final question. Now I've been told that a police officer cannot search your person or property without a warrant. Is there an exception to this?
A police officer cannot do what?
Cannot search your person or property without a warrant, car, your home, or whatever. Is there an exception to this?
Oh, a police officer. I'm trying to make sure I heard it right there. You said he cannot go to your property?
Search you without a warrant.
Your car or your property without a warrant.
No, that's not true. If I pull you over, okay, well, let's I'm gonna do the house and I'm gonna do the car. If I come to your house for whatever reason and you let me in, now say you two share the same household, or you and your man, you and your girlfriend, you share the same household. The only part of that household that is off, if say two girlfriends are living together, or two guys are living together, or if you're a couple, a common law couple, or a married couple, then if you're a common law and married, you can give me the permission to search any part of that house without your other half's consent.
Oh, okay.
If we are just roommates, you can only give me permission to search the houses that you both share, all of the kitchen, the bathroom, the living room, or the closet. You can't give me permission to search the private room that the person is staying in.
I got you.
And there is no need, really, for a warrant. If a warrant is needed, but you can get around having a warrant to search somebody's car or their home.
Well, if you let me in your house, say I came in your house because we got called for help, you know, or we heard your neighbor called and heard there was arguing, domestic violence, and you let me in your house. Now, with anything that I see in your house is plain view. Plain
right.
view
right.
means exactly what it is. It's right there in front of me. I didn't look for it.
Right.
Now,
so what if you don't allow them in?
If you don't allow them in, then they can't come in your house.
Okay.
They can still question you at the door, because it's just like, say, the neighbor calls. We're just going to use this one. Neighbor calls, I heard screaming and yelling in the house.
You step outside when they call.
I knock on the door, bang, bang, bang. No, you come to the door. Police officer, I'm going to help you. I mean, police. Yes, we had calls. We heard screaming. We got a call that, you know, there was some screaming, and blah, 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 whatever going on. You come to the door. You don't look disheveled. You don't look like you've been battered or bruised. I come in the door and I say, excuse me, can we come in? And you say, no, I can't force my way in your house. But what I can ask you for is your information to say, and find out who you are and if you live there. I mean, I can press that issue to validate who you are.
And you would have to procure the information.
Yeah. I mean, unless you just slam the door in my face, then there isn't anything I could do. But you know.
Okay.
But now, when it comes to a car, when you pull somebody over in a car, there used to be this thing called lungible area. Now, lungible area meant that if I pulled you over and you made an assertive movement, and I don't know if y'all have heard that before, assertive movement, and you reach to the right or reach to the left, that's my reason of suspicion. That goes back to your first question. What were you reaching for before I got to the car? Now, for my safety, I can pull you out of the car, handcuff you, and search your car. If I'm with a partner, I don't have to handcuff you, but I can search your car in the vicinity of where you were, like, say, under the seat. Now, going to the trunk, this is where we go to the trunk aspect of it, where I could say to you, do you have something in your trunk? And you say, no, I don't have anything in my trunk. Well, could you open your trunk for me? And you say, yes. Now you've given me consent.
Right.
The average person gives consent because they want to get away from the police officer. Nobody really wants to be around police. You know what I'm saying? So when you get pulled over, it's like the first thing you're saying is like, okay, let me do anything I can do to get away from
this.
I want
right.
to go home.
But
so
if a person says
consent,
no, then that's reasonable suspicion.
Yes, that could be reasonable suspicion why you tell me no. You could say, well, there's no cause for it. Now, if you want to sit there and be a layman lawyer and you want to go back and forth, okay, we can play the game if you want to. But then you understand, I can take you in to the precinct
right.
to validate who you are. Because now I pulled you over supposedly. This is a key word. I supposedly pulled you over for a reason. That means you made a traffic infraction. So now,
right.
if I want to, I can take you in. And as we want to use this word, excuse my friends, if I want to bust your balls, I can take you in to the precinct and write you a ticket. Now, when I take you into the precinct to write you that ticket, because I took your car with me, now, because I could validate what? Now I'm searching your car to make
right.
sure that all properties in your car are valid. You know, like, you know, your purse, your pocketbook, you know, cause that's what we call search incidental to a lawful arrest. I lawfully arrested you. So now, if I'm going to vouch your car, I have to search it for all the items in your car. And then with a checkpoint. So now, as I articulate, oh, I found a gun. Well, I took you into the precinct to write you a ticket. And I can articulate, well, you were giving me a hard time, so I took you into the precinct. I arrested you.
Okay.
I detained you to write you a ticket. As in writing this ticket, boom, say you popped a warrant or whatever the case may be. And then I searched your car, and now here I found a gun. You know, because you just use that terminology. We found a gun. Or I found a bag of weed or whatever it is, cocaine under the seat. Now,
okay.
if neither none of that is there, go ahead.
We hate to interrupt you, but I think our time is winding down, isn't it? And it would just automatically cut us
off. It
is.
We're still recorded. But so the question that I want to ask before we get off air is that what do you suggest that people do when they are pulled over? Because, you know, some people are like, well, I don't want to bow down, or I shouldn't have to shuck and jive. Like, what to keep yourself safe and to keep a situation from going left, like you said, what do you recommend people do? Even if the cop is being a jerk to you, or they may start being an a-hole, like, what's the best response?
I'm gonna give you some quick points. When you get pulled over by a police officer, I guess it's almost like equated to a relationship. Your other half wants to argue, and your mental is like, listen, I don't want to argue, so I'm gonna stay quiet. I say that to say, when you get pulled over by a police officer, you have to find out what is it worth to you. How much talking back do you want to do? Do you want to argue? Because once you argue, it is going to be what it is. Because you're arguing with a human being that is wearing a blue uniform. How many officers out here are that professional where they're going to let you say what you want to say and just either hand you a ticket and be quiet, or they're going to get into a pissing match with you, as we may say, we use the terminology, pissing match, and find out, oh, you know what, you're going to bust my ball? So you know what, I'm going to bust your ball. I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you into the precinct, make you sit there for a few hours and to teach you a lesson. Because a lot of officers' mentality is that they're out here to teach us a lesson. That protect and serve has gone out the window with a certain generational police officers. It's all about policing. That's why we have so many problems, because officers have the mentality that they're policing us. Now, when it comes to when you get pulled over, my first thing is, even I, you know, there are certain things that I do. I pull my hands on the steering wheel. I want to make the officer feel safe, because I've been pulled over and the officer said, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? Because I said, I don't want to get shot. And he's like, come on, man. Well, you know what? I'd rather have this conversation about come on, man, and not getting shot than you feeling suspicious that just because you see a black man and you not knowing that I'm blue, because you don't know I'm blue, because I don't have those privileges of being considered light blue or dark blue. You don't know that yet. When you pull me over, you see a black person.
Right.
You know, and let's call a spade, that's what it is. That's just the world we live in. I was born black, and I'm proud to be black. But you know what? I have to understand that there's certain things that I have to do to make sure that I can go home at night. Now, that way I can be on this show to tell you about what's happening. Because if I don't, then I'm a statistic on the news. And a lot of times, I try to tell people all the time, police officers, very seldom you will find them being accused of a crime. Not when you're acting in your lawful employment. That is their profession. So the police officer's mentality is that I didn't go to work to kill you. That's why very seldom when people ask for indictments on law enforcement and stuff like that, it's hard. It's like a doctor, he operates on you and you die. You got to prove malpractice.
Right.
You know, so
well, we
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we definitely appreciate all the pointers you gave us. You definitely taught me some things that I really didn't know, and I hope that our listeners out there found this very informative, and you can act as such, and we appreciate you for coming on the show once again. Do you have any last things to say, Keithlyn?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, you can follow up us on our Facebook page, and if you have more questions, you can post them, and we'll see if we can get them to Bill to get them answered. And we also will post some of the tips that we've discussed for those who missed out, and they can, you know, follow us on the Facebook page, The Truth Is.
And yes, if you want me back, I'll come back, I promise. I'm sorry I was a little late. But I'll be back.
Definitely. Okay. We appreciate that. And remember, listeners, if no one else believes in you, remember God believes in you and believe in yourself. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Till next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Congratulations. Episode 1.